Sunday morning, and historically I try to get home and change clothes because I'm usually quite drenched when I finish, but today we didn't make it home even. I got in here about 10 minutes before the service started at Joey Christensen's funeral celebration today. And my goodness, singing, there was some singing, wonderful singing, and you know there would be with Joey. But it was a great homegoing, let me just tell you, a great memorial time, and God is good, amen? Praise God, praise God. Now, I've looked forward to tonight for some time, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but we have a great pastoral staff. Now, is this four of you believe that? Now, I believe that. We have great pastors in this church, and they're so diverse, and they're so powerful, and it's you have no idea what it means to me to have great pastors to step in. And this lady is part of our youth pastor team, her and her husband, Pastor Brandon. Dr. Kendra Scott, a doctorate in educational leadership. That was earned. And if you don't think it was earned, ask me, because I prayed us through several nervous breakdowns and tests, and so did the family. And she did great. But we have one of the leaders in education in this community here in our church on our pastoral team. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, are you glad that in education today we have Spirit-filled believers? I'm hearing all this baloney about how bad education is. And somebody asked me, I go, what do you mean? One of our pastors is an assistant principal of one of the schools here, only for a while, and I don't want to say anything, but you'll be a principal for long, full principal, and her husband's about to get his master's degree in leadership something, and it's hard stuff too, and these are educational people. It's something when you have an education that's God and Christ-centered, amen? That's so powerful. So let me just tell you, to welcome Pastor Kendra Scott, she's coming to bring the word to us tonight. Would you do? Make her feel very welcome this evening. This is your home. Okay. I'm your papa. This is your people.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Pastor Sam, one, for trusting me to stand behind this pulpit and bring the word. I will say, much like Natalie, this is probably not my favorite to be in the middle center stage. But I will say that God has been faithful as I prepared this message. It's been on my heart for a while. And I'll say, first of all, I had my three different confirmations that this was from God. Because when you're preparing this, sometimes you're like, okay, is this me or is this God? And so first, it was actually pretty funny. We were in McDonald's, a drive-thru, and Julia and I were just talking, and I'm like, this has been on my heart about just how fear and how our mind and how our tongue all work together and can be positive or it can be negative, and she just starts laughing. And so then we call Natalie, and she's like, you will not believe what Kendra just told me. So that was my first confirmation that maybe it was not me, it was from the Lord. And then last week, if you missed Hunter Lundy, he was phenomenal, and that was my second confirmation. And then this morning, if you missed this morning, you need to go back and listen, because man, Pastor Sam brought a word that was so timely and so powerful, and I will say, it was just what I needed. Not only for confirmation, but just as where we are as a nation right now, what we needed. So, I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of the enemy attacking us. Our minds are being infiltrated with fear. Every time you turn on the TV, or anytime you turn on the computer, all you see is fear and more fear. You never see or rarely do you see anything that brings positivity. So I'm really pretty sick of it. And when you work with youth and kids, guys, it is heartbreaking what we're seeing in education and what we're seeing our children go through. And we have got to stand. We have got to start standing for what's right. Because if we do not, we're going to lose a generation, and we cannot stand for that. So I ask you to pray, 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 pray for our kids. They are in a battle, but you know what? We can equip them to be overcomers, and we can equip them to be powerful and make a way. So tonight, I'm just going to open up and pray. So if you'll bow your heads with me. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just this church family. Thank you for all that you continue to do. Right now, Lord, I pray that you completely empty me of myself and just use me as your vessel, Lord, to offer hope and encouragement that when we leave our fears and our doubts at the altar, Lord, that we can walk out the church doors and have a plan to overcome the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for this word, and I just pray that you use me as your vessel. Open our ears and our hearts to what you have. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, so tonight I'm a teacher by nature, so I have to come up with objectives, right? Because if you're in education, if I was to walk into your classroom and I do not see objectives on your board, we're going to have a discussion, right? So here's my objectives. And we always say, I can do math. So tonight we're going to talk about, I can overcome fear. I can renew my mind daily. I can have a powerful, positive tongue. And I can walk in the Spirit daily. So those are the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Because, guys, this is what we have to do. This is our how-to plan, overcome the enemy. And so we're going to just step in, and we're just going to go right into how do I overcome fear. And I'm going to go ahead and cue the eye rolls from our youth group, because it's coming in just a second. Because they hear this weekly, if not multiple times a week. But this is how we're going to walk and overcome fear. First, guys, we've got to turn off the news and limit our social media. And for a long time, I thought, well, maybe that's just Kendra 101. That's what Kendra thinks. But I dug into Luke. And in Luke 11, 34 through 35, it says this. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when you are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. So right there it tells us what our eyes are seeing either makes us healthy or it makes us unhealthy. So we get to choose. So here's tip one. Turn off the news. Raise your hand in here if you've seen anything positive really come from the news recently. I don't see a hand. In social media, I will tell you, social media is overtaking our thinking. And I don't know and if you follow Chris and Davy Brooks, but this week alone on their YouTube channel, their sermon was taken off because they are trying to limit what we have to say. But you can say anything negative about Christianity. You can say whatever you want. You can talk about all the sin of the world, and that's okay. But as soon as you use the name of Jesus, you're gone. We have to limit our social media. I will tell you, on average, our teens are at least 10 hours a day, if not more, on social media. I will say in the last couple of weeks, I was very proud of our youth group because we did a challenge. And we had a little nice reward if they did this, but our challenge was to limit your social media to less than an hour a day. And you couldn't imagine what they told us. They were like, wow, I feel good. Like, this is good. So in Luke, it supports that. We've got to turn off the garbage. Because if we put garbage in, guess what comes out? Garbage comes out. Also, Lonnie, I think I've thrown you off. I told you I might go rogue on you, and I did. Sorry. So can we get a slide? Next, one way we can protect that is we can put on the armor of God daily. So we're going to just flip over there, and we're going to talk about the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, 8, 10 through 18, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." Nowhere in there does it say the partial armor of God or one piece of it. It says the full armor of God, so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you are able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So in order to overcome fear and stay free, we have to wake up every morning and put on our full armor of God. And part of that is the sword of the Spirit. We have to be in God's word every single day. We have to put this in our heart. It has to protect us. Because when we have this in our heart, we can ward off anything that the enemy throws at us. Unfortunately, a lot of times we try to put on a lot of things, but we forget about this piece. And it is so important. And with that, we also have to surround ourselves with people who speak truth. So not only do we need to turn off the garbage, we need to put on the armor, but we also have to surround ourselves with people who are going to speak truth. So in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So we've got to watch who we're around. But they're my good friend. Guess what? You can pray for those people, but you don't have to surround yourself with them. Because in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." We've got to sharpen ourselves with people who are going to be uplifting and encouraging and do what is right. Because we can't be isolated either, though, in this. Because in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." So not only do we have to be careful who we hang out with, we want to make sure we're hanging out with people who are going to sharpen us and make us great, but we cannot isolate ourselves. Because as soon as we isolate ourselves, the enemy tends to get us in a bad place. So we have to surround ourselves with people who are going to uplift us and who are going to speak truth into our lives. Because when we have those people, our minds are fed with positive thoughts. And that's where I'm going to get into right now. Guys, there are some staggering numbers, and if you haven't picked this up, you need to pick this up, and I'm going to probably reference this a couple of times. Man, it's great. And I just briefly kind of went through it. But our staggering numbers here. The National Science Foundation published the following research. Are you ready for this? The average person has 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. 80% of those are negative. So think on that. I'm not a math whiz at all, but that's a large number of negative thoughts. 95% of those are repetitive, the exact same as the day before. The research revealed our bodies respond to the way we think, feel, and act. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for our mind. It's not healthy for our gut. It's not healthy for our just overall health. Our bodies respond to anything that isn't right or stressful, such as high blood pressure, stomach ulcers, and the list goes on. Our thoughts eventually become our words, and our words have power of life and death, which we will get into that. So here's a question. Are your thoughts completely surrendered to the Lord? Because if you look in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, Paul warns us. I love Paul. I just love him. Because you talk about someone who was in a pit and came out and then gives us some great warnings. And I would think he probably is on it. So 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, making it obedient to God. So right there, we have to take captive our thoughts. If we have 80% of them negative, then we have some work to do, right? Because in James 4, 7 through 8, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. We have to set our minds on things above. We have to not only do that, but we also have to do what Psalms 19, 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because here's the thing. If we don't have the word hidden in our heart, we're going to have a difficult time when the enemy comes and attacks. If you're trying to fill your bucket with the world and neglecting your relationship with the Lord, you will have a difficult time being effective in the kingdom of God because the enemy will get a stronghold on your mind. And we just heard the research that shows that. So what should we think on? Philippians 4, 8 through 9 really tells us. And I love, this is probably my favorite scripture. Thanks to my mother-in-law, she really, I don't know, a long time, she said, you sent me to this. Think on such things. So it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And verse 9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So right here, it's not a big question. Our how-to, what should we think on? What we should think on is clear. What is true? God's word is true. What is noble? What is right, pure, lovely, admirable? So I'm going to probably step on some toes, and you're going to say, well, where in the world did that come from? And I've said this earlier, but if garbage is coming in, garbage is coming out. If your TV shows are not reflective of what we just read, you need to turn them off. If your podcasts are not reflective of what we just talked about, you need to turn it off. I'm going to just be real clear. If they're showing commercials, it used to be after 7 o'clock. Now if you turn on TV now, it's just garbage, garbage, garbage when you see commercials. So turn it off. Because if it's not of this, it's not of God, and we shouldn't be putting our eyes on things that are not of God. And if you're following something that is not of God on social media, unfollow it. We have been really clear with our youth with this, because guess what happens? People see what you like. And if you say that, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm liking or watching things that are not of God, what are you telling people? So not only is it impacting your mind, it's affecting your walk. So you have got to take a stand, and we've got to stop watching things that have no significance. And I'm going to be a mom here, a parent here, because this is what I'm seeing, and it hurts my heart. Are your kids watching things that they should be watching? Because a lot of times, and I'm guilty too, we are so busy, sometimes we give them a screen and we give them YouTube. Have you seen what's on YouTube? Have you seen the commercials that just randomly pop up? They're not good, even on kids' YouTube. Get the screens away from your kids and feed them with something that's positive. There's a lot of great shows out there that are great. Superbook, great show. There's a lot of things that you can watch or that they can do. But we have got to stop letting the world infiltrate them through media, because it's happening and it's scary and it's not a good thing. Trust me, I see it every day in public education. So get the screens out of your kids' hands, please. So there, I went there. I'm sorry. There I go again. But we have to not only teach ourselves to be sensitive to what the Spirit says, we have to teach our kids to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Guys, and if your gut is telling you, or the still small voice in your heart is telling you that it's not okay, it's probably not okay. So you've got to turn it off. And we've got to teach our kids that. Our kids don't know. We've got to teach them. I remember when Kinley was in kindergarten, they had a rule that they weren't allowed to go up the rock wall. And she came home and she said, "Mama, some of my friends went up the rock wall, and they really told me that I should go up the rock wall. But my belly was really hurting, and I knew it's probably not something I should do, so I didn't do it." And we had a conversation. "You're right, Kinley. You shouldn't have done that, because right there, that's the Holy Spirit directing you to not do what." And so in those moments, I was able to have a teachable moment with my kid on how to be sensitive to what the Spirit says. And we've got to do that. We cannot compromise to the world. It is getting serious. If I go back to turn off the news, if you want to know what's going on in the world, open your Bible to Revelations, and it's unfolding. It is unfolding right before our eyes. We've got to stand, guys. We have got to stand. All right, I went rogue again. But with all that, it goes right back into the power of the tongue. We've got to speak truth to yourself and those around you. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So we have a lot of power right here, right in the middle of our face. Our tongue is powerful. And in James 3, 7 through 11, this scripture really like struck me, and I'm going to read it to you. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father with, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Wow. I don't know. That struck me, though. The same tongue that I praise my Heavenly Father with, I have used it as a curse to someone. And that breaks my heart, really, when I think about it. And that's why the enemy takes over our mind. Because when we allow that to happen and get that stronghold, what's coming out? The enemy, the lies. Because we can praise here at church, but we can walk out the door and it can be deadly. So we have to set our minds on things above. We have to speak truth. We have to. We cannot allow the enemy to not only kill, steal, and destroy ours, but we can't let our tongue be the reason why he goes and kills, steals, and destroys somebody else's life. So in school, a lot of times we talk to our students about loose language. And so we talk about we need to stay in this world, in our safe language world. We can't be in loose language, because what happens in loose language, then we go to really naughty language, and we don't want to be there. And the same thing for us. We've got to stay in safe language. And we do that by speaking truth. Kinley, you got your pen? She told me I had to talk slow on this part because she's my little note taker. So we have a couple of truths that I want you to speak over at yourself over every day. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about, I am a new creation. I am a new creation. So when the enemy tells me I'm not good enough, I'm going to say, but I am a new creation. And in Galatians 3:13, it says, I am redeemed from the curse. So when he tries to take me back to those moments when I, before I was saved, or those moments that maybe I fell into a pit, I can remind him, I am redeemed from the curse. When he really gets me down, I can say in Revelation 21:7, it says, I'm victorious. John 8:31 through 36, it says, I am set free. Romans 8:37, it says, I am more than a conqueror. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, I am called of God. In Deuteronomy 28:2 and also in Ephesians 1:3 says, I am overtaken from blessings. We are all so blessed. So when the enemy tries to speak negative lies to you, we've got to speak truth. We have to speak truth. And it takes me back, and this is, again, one of my favorite stories in my youth. I'm probably like, well, she likes to really talk about this one also. Because when we go to Matthew 4:1-11, a lot of times we say, oh, we use that word because I was hangry, or I was really tired, or I just didn't have it in me. So we use excuses for the words that we use. Well, after a 40-day fast, I am sure Jesus was hangry. Because after a good 4 hours, I become hangry. So Jesus had to be hangry in this moment. So I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So right there, we know he was hangry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered. He uses God's word right here. It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands. Here's what the enemy does right here. One, he misuses God's word. And some, if we don't have this hidden in our heart and know this, guess what happens? There are people out there who stand behind pulpits even that are misusing God's word. And if we are not protected and fully armored and using this, that we will allow it to impact us. And then he says, Jesus answered him with, it was written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. And again, the devil tempts him. And guess what God or Jesus does? He uses God's word again. And he says, this is my favorite part, away from me, Satan. How many times do we need to say that? Away from me, Satan. We have the power to tell him to get under our feet, that we don't want him to flee, that he has no power over our mind, he has no power over our thinking, has no power over what's coming out. We have to use God's word. We have to tell him to flee. But we must use the sword of the Spirit. We have to use it. It is something, I'm going to be honest with you, it's something I feel as a nation and as a church that we continue to push it to the side because we are too busy and we continue to find other things. But we have to use this. It is powerful. Okay, I've already stepped on a couple of toes, so here I'm going to step on some more toes for our next truth, and it goes right with the power of the tongue against others. In Scripture, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. See, it's our choice daily on what comes out of our mouths, and are we building each other up? And I'm going to tell you, when we're living outside of God's will, we can't walk in freedom. Gossip is a sin. And we talked about this the other day in youth group about what is gossip. If it's something you wouldn't go say to their face, then you don't need to be saying it. But gossip is a sin. And if you're gossiping and talking about others, you're out of the will of God. And you cannot walk in freedom. We have got to do a better job of uplifting others instead of bringing them down. Because we have a world and we can walk out these doors and we have a world that's all they want to do. So we as believers have to do a better job of encouraging everybody. We can't just encourage those that we really like or really make us feel good. We have to encourage others. Also, we have to be more positive. If all we're doing is walking around and have nothing but negativity, who would want to be a Christian? Because if all you're saying is, oh, this is awful, or you go on and talk about all the things, or you talk about somebody in your church, who's going to want to come? Who's going to want to be saved? Who is going to want to be a part of that? We have to live above reproach, and we have to do a better job. And we have the power to do that. And guess what? Julia and Natalie have really equipped us with some great things to help us if you struggle with that. Because like Pastor said, Sam said this morning, if that's something, a sin that you struggle with, it's okay. Leave it at the altar. Leave it there. Don't pick it back up. And then we can walk in freedom because you have the tools to be in order to do that. And we want to be here and encourage you to do that. But let's not get trapped in that web that we can't get out of because we're gossiping and belittling others. My mama always told me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to take it a step further. If you don't have anything nice to say, really, really try to find something nice to say. Because if you can find something nice to say or you can even pull out a smile, you don't know how powerful that is for somebody. We talked about how kind words are like honey and how a simple smile, an encouraging word, can change someone's day. We don't know what the person we're walking by in Walmart, we don't know how their day's going. They may be having a horrible day or they may be saying really bad things to you if you're in your workplace, but we don't know what they're walking through. So let's show them Jesus with how we act, what we say, how we encourage them, because our words can either build somebody up or they can destroy them. Just like our words can set us on the path of positivity or it can put us down in a down spiral trap that we don't want to be in. So let's do what it says in 1 Thessalonians, and build each other up. Because when we do this, we do exactly what Paul talks about in Galatians 5. Because when we're doing this, we are living by the Spirit. And we're going to really talk about what this means. It says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. When we are back, it says that we need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live our life every day of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5, Paul first in verse 1 starts talking about freedom. And then in the same chapter, he then writes about life in the Spirit. So freedom and life in the Spirit go in the same chapter. That's interesting to me, right? So Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So here's the thing. We can choose to walk in the flesh, or we can choose to walk in the Spirit. They go against each other all the time. we get the choice, though, every day. Because in verse 19 through 21, we have a warning about what happens if we act in the flesh and what is of the flesh. But I love verse 22, and I love this because so many times in God's word, if you see, it talks about the negative, like if you do this, this will happen, but if you do this, this will happen. So in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's one that sometimes we struggle with. If we are walking in the Spirit, these attributes will come out, but you cannot walk in peace if you are living in fear. So again, I'm going to tell you, if we're living in fear, we can't walk in the Spirit because we can't have peace, right? So let's talk about what it looks like. Are we showing love? Joy. And I really feel like how this is written, if you don't have love, you can't have joy. And if you don't have joy, you can't have peace. And if you don't have peace, you definitely cannot have patience. And if you don't have patience, you can't have kindness. And it goes on. And if you don't have all of these, you definitely can't have self-control. So these are all things that we have to work on every single day. And it's hard, I know. Because again, if it was easy, the flesh and the living by the Spirit wouldn't be working against each other. So it warns us that. So if we go to verse 25, though, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we need to do our best to stay in step with the Spirit daily. In order to walk in freedom, we have to walk in the Spirit. Because here's the thing, if we walk in the Spirit, we allow the aroma to just come out of us. And it's a beautiful aroma that people want to be around. They may not know anything else, but they know that you're positive and this aroma that's coming out of you is awesome and they want to be around you. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, nothing but yuck comes out and nobody wants to hang out with yuck. So we've got to walk in the Spirit. And we got to live out the fruits of the Spirit if we want to walk in freedom. I encourage you all to get into the Word daily. And here's a fun fact. Your Bible app, it's a great thing. It's a really great thing. But you have to get into the Word because this is the living Word of God. I don't know how many times I open this up and I read it, and I've read it like 15 times, and I'm like, whoa, there's a new truth I didn't know. I can read the same thing on my phone, and I don't get the same thing because I have text messages come through. I have voice messages. I get phone calls. I have all these things that are distractions. So in the armor of God, it doesn't say the sword of the Bible app. Okay? It says the sword of the Spirit. We've got to use this every day. We've got to put this in our heart every single day. Because I'm going to tell you, God can move mountains. He can break strongholds. And in the name of Jesus, it can be done. And some of you are probably looking at me thinking, well, you don't know my story. And you're right. I don't know your story. But I know a God who loves you and a God who can break chains. So before I close, I'm going to just hit on a couple things. I feel like this church does a great job of really setting us up for success. Because every month they have this great packet out. If you don't have it, I've said it several times, you need to pick it up. Because this is going to set you up for success. It's the teacher in me. I have to give you some kind of tools as I come out, right? And so here's your tools. You need this, okay? And I'm going to end this and close. And Pastor Sam, if you want to come up. But in order for us to walk in freedom, we have to be completely surrendered to the Lord. And like I said, some of you are looking at me and you're like, but you don't know my trauma. You don't know what I've gone through. But we've got to stop listening to the lies of the enemy and get up and do something. It takes action, though. It takes us getting up and doing something. Because here's the thing. I may not know your story, but I know that the name of Jesus can overcome anything. And that he can move mountains because I've seen it. I know that he can change brain structures. I know he can change serotonin levels. I know that he can do things that we do not believe. Because if we listen to the world says, you got to do this and this and this, and you're still not going to be healed. But if we say the name of Jesus, you're going to be healed. And I firmly believe that. I've seen it in my son's life. Guys, I've had an audiology reports. We have quite a few of them that says my son can't hear. But after much prayer and fasting, guess what? Our ABR says his hearing is perfect. And it's because in the name of Jesus, his brain structure was changed. You can maybe think I'm crazy, but that's what I'm believing. Because we had doctor reports saying that he couldn't hear. We were about to get cochlear implants. But in the name of Jesus, we prayed and we believed and he was healed. He can change brain structures. He can change serotonin levels. He can take those black spots of your brain that were created because of early trauma in your life and he can make it clean. But it takes action from us. We have to get up out of our seats and we have to want that. We can't sit back and just hope. It takes action. So as I close, Pastor Sam, if you want to come up, just one more thought, and then I'm going to turn it over to him. Some of us in here are online. Maybe you're thinking, whoa, this girl threw a lot at me. But I feel like it was from the Lord. Really and truly, I did. Because as you might, I might have had an error or two on my PowerPoint. But every time that I opened up the Word to continue to study, it's like the Lord continued to download more and more and more. Because if we want to be world changers, we have to get right ourselves. And we have to overcome fear. Because how can we help somebody else overcome fear if we haven't overcome fear? How can we talk to others in a positive way if we're living in a state of negativity? We have to change our rhetoric on what we're doing. We have to be world changers, but it's going to take action from us. And some of you tonight may need to come to the altars and just ask for forgiveness. But the great thing is that Scripture gives us hope that when we do that, we take that action, guess what?
Yeah.
Chains are broken.
Yes. Amen.
How do you stay free, Pastor?
It
requires action from us.
It requires action. Yes.
I really don't know how to end this because...
Let me ask you a question. I hear all these words that you have a perfect life without any problems ever, right?
No.
Oh, really?
I will tell you this, and Pastor Greg, right over there, can tell you that I was walking in fear. But it took action and a lot of prayer for God to show me and reveal things to me. Because I'll be real honest with you. 14 years ago today, the enemy tried to take me. 14 years ago today, my sister was passed away. I didn't know how to end, and Pastor Sam had to ask me a question. And I lived in that fear for 14 years. And it took the stinking COVID to completely cripple me because of fear of death. And why was I fearing death? Because I was a Christian. It's because the world continued to tell me that it was a scary thing. 14 years ago, the enemy tried to take me, and for 14 years, he slowly continued to speak lies to me. And it wasn't until I called my best friend Natalie completely broken over quarantine and saying, I need your help. I don't know what to do. So of course you came, because that's what best friends do, right? And we prayed, and we went to Pastor Greg and Vicky's, and we prayed, and we prayed, and they spoke truth to me, and we prayed, and guys, I got into the Word daily. But it's a fight that I still have to wake up, and sometimes the enemy still tries to attack me in the middle of the night. But you know what? I use the word against the enemy.
Yes.
I get into Psalms, and I get into the parts of the Word, and there are times I tell him to get out of my house because he is not welcome here. And we have to do that. We have to take action. We can't let things that have happened in our past continue to suffocate us.
14 years ago today,
mm-hmm.
And you think God confirmed the message through some other things? He knew 14 years ago today you'd be preaching. 14 years ago, your heart was broken, you were done, you were finished. Your sister had gone away, had passed away. So you've been through some stuff. You see, I don't trust anybody that doesn't walk with a limp. You hear me? You can read all the books and all the seminars you want, but unless you've been through some stuff, you can't really tell me this works. But I know what you've been through. Growing up in your home, there's some trouble. But when your sister passes and she's young, an enemy tries to take you, and you go to God and it works, then I'm going to trust you know what you're talking about. So here's somebody that knows what they're talking about, telling you tonight that you may need to come to the altar and get some help tonight. Stand to your feet with me. There's stuff in your life that nobody else knows about. Now listen to me. Give me your attention. There's stuff you've got down in your cellar that you're not going to let anything get to. Nothing. Nobody. See, this pastor's telling you tonight that God can take the stuff out of your cellar and set you free. Am I right?
Amen.
And she's giving you a blueprint. You see, these weren't just little religious suggestions. What she preached tonight was the commandment of Jesus Christ for someone who wants to go to heaven and be a child of God. You can't go to heaven with filth in you and keep putting filth in you and expect righteousness to come out of you. He's given us a word, and the word is loving and kind and obedient, and it works, but it takes us to apply that word. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, many of you have. I know your stories, a lot of you, but there are things I don't know that nobody knows that you're stuffed down inside of you tonight. And God's saying, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to free you from that. Then I'm going to give you a pattern. You go home and watch this again of the scripture that says how I stay on the right track. How it is, how it feels to be free, how I stay free. So I'm going to pray right now, and I want you to come here with me. And we're going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask God to do something tonight that's so miraculous. I'm going to ask him to take the things that you've hidden down inside of you. I don't care if you're 100 years old or 5 years old, and you can understand what I'm saying. God is going to, you don't have to come up here and say, this is what it was. Please don't do that. You don't have to do that, but you have to be able to say, God, you know what it is in my heart, in my life, that's I won't let anything or anyone get to, but I'm living with that, and I don't want that anymore in my life. You don't sit down and write a book and tell them what it is. That's private, but God's a private God,
yes.
And he'll set you free. and it'll change your life. And this word then becomes alive to you, and you can apply it to your life. So, Father God, as this wonderful word came to the day, Lord, on this anniversary, but God, now you knew 14 years ago when Pastor Kendra didn't know, didn't feel, didn't believe, didn't have hope. But God, you said, I've put a word in you, and that word will come out. It will touch people. It'll change lives because of what you've been through. So I'm saying to you tonight, Father God, in Jesus' name, touch somebody here watching online. Touch somebody in this room that says, Pastor, there's some stuff, maybe one thing, maybe other stuff in my life. I've never allowed anything, even God, to get to it. And I want to be set free so I can look at this pattern I saw tonight and live in freedom and grow in the Word of God. Be obedient to you, not upheld, not held back, not paralysis by fear and situations. God, please, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, please soften people, humble them, that we won't talk about it publicly, but God, privately, you're going to heal tonight. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to open the altars right now. And if you have something that you need God to heal, I want you to walk right down here in front right now. And don't you hesitate one second. Maybe you haven't told anybody. That's okay. But God knows. And there's things that you've got to get out to God. Not out to the public, but out to God.